Brand new episode, Coffee with a Roach, Lazy Sidecast. I'm Tommy the Roach Lucero. On this episode, we visit with the gang on the road for the THC Top Half of California tour, because we literally hit the top half. Myself, Jackie Pearl, Jacob Blazer, Zach Zimmerman all met up, did some great shows, met some awesome people, had some amazing experiences on the road. Couldn't ask for a better crew to travel around with and do some amazing comedy shows that are gonna stick with me for the rest of my life. Great memories. Got some of it on tape. But anyway, here's a little bit of it. Enjoy what we did get recorded. Hope some of it comes through on this episode of how much fun that we actually had. Coffee with a Roach, Lazy Sidecast, 40 Ass to Funny Comedy Shows, THC Comedy Tour. Here you go.
Now I feel
recording?
Yep.
No, well, see, the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you gonna listen to this fucking shit?
If you're talking, no. I'm right? Over here.
I'll be captivated
if you keep talking.
I'm always fucking
talking. There are 9,000 other podcasts.
I love it when I get people captive.
Oh, we all do. That's why I have a basement.
You have a basement?
Another shirt stained with the blood of my enemies.
Did I say that out loud? My bad.
It's amazing that you have a basement in California.
Like, we're a crawl space.
That is amazing.
I don't even think they built those anymore.
More just like an area where I lift the planks on my floorboards.
Right, yeah. It's more Telltale Heart than it is an actual basement.
It's more Telltale. Yeah.
So I guess I could just shoot the fucking performances or something.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, meat and potatoes is that. And then, like,
and
anything
maybe,
in between
like,
can just be kind of fun.
Hiking a few times or something.
Yeah. Like, stop on a rest stop just to smoke a cigarette and fucking enjoy the fucking being in the woods, you know?
But I might bring a light. I want to bring light in case we end up at, like, Innotech and they don't have a good light and I want to be able to film.
So I just need
a spotlight. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring the softbox to go with that and then so we can do headshots somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll give
cool.
everybody some fresh fucking headshots.
That's dope because I need some and I appreciate
that.
That's good because I'm ugly.
Well, I will work my photography magic.
No, you're
thank you,
you're symmetrical. You're symmetrical.
Well, I mean, I try with the hair on my face.
You got some good teeth, some loving eyes.
You don't see all of them.
Mine either. You don't see
and
all mine either.
You can make love to some mean cornbread too.
You can, dude.
Yeah, cannot be discounted.
You caressed it with that butter.
You ate that cornbread like cake and used the butter like frosting. What is wrong with you?
That's great because, like, all I did was just point out the
facts.
Very
obvious.
It's very Dragnet of you. Just the facts.
Right,
just the
papers
facts.
In my car.
I grew up with that shit. I remember coming home from school and hanging out with my grandma and watching Columbo.
Mine was the Munsters.
I don't like
Columbo. Munsters, Beverly Hillbillies, and
it's
the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
They just played them in a block.
Columbo, Murder, She Wrote, Hawaii 5-0.
Murdoch.
Yeah.
Or no, Matlock.
Matlock, yeah.
Are you talking about old people shows?
Yeah, my coming home and having to watch that shit with my grandma. And we watched Golden Girls together because that's something
that's
like for both of us.
Yeah, Matlock. Dude, it was Andy Griffith fucking taking motherfuckers to task on the stand.
Taking motherfuckers to task.
Yeah. He's Matt treating Rock. Motherfuckers on the stand like they're Opie got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Man,
you know
they used to
mean?
Have such cool names on TV, man. Like, the names of TV shows used to be awesome.
The Rockford Files. Jim Rockford.
Yeah. Quantum Leap.
Oh, dude, I love that show, bro.
Ziggy.
That was fucking cool. Fucking.
Bro.
She was very unique take on a fucking show, dude. Where, and how Scott Bakula.
It's Spot Bakula.
Didn't blow the fuck up, dude. He was a different character.
Bro, Spat Bakula sounds like a fucking,
Star Trek Rock Dracula or something.
It sounds like something that, like, fucking Boba Fett would have to track down.
Nice.
Spat Bakula.
I think it sounds Star Trek-y.
Star Wars-y is what I was thinking.
Star
yeah.
Wars-y.
Yeah.
Stargate-y.
Stargate-y.
Fishazy.
Fugazi.
Fugazi. Fucking forget
about that. I think that's a
you fucking
slur.
Did you take some? Did you take some pictures
of
me on stage?
I got
a couple of you on stage.
Yes, send them to me.
I
will.
I took a bunch of running pictures of you on stage.
Hello.
Running pictures.
Yeah,
she moves a lot. There's a lot of
running.
Oh, I thought you meant that she runs a lot.
This straight up looks like the fucking end of an SNL.
Nope.
A terrible SNL, bro.
Yeah.
And we do look like a shitty fucking improv troupe, bro.
Yeah. Right?
We look like a shitty improv troupe.
We look like Tuesday Night Live.
Live from Sally Tomatoes, it's Tuesday Night! That's
I always wanted that guy to introduce me just because I love his voice. The old guy that they had.
Pardo?
Jimmy Pardo? Saturday Night Live!
Is he dead yet?
No.
No, he retired, though.
Tracy Morgan!
Yeah, when he started getting older.
On a gas tire!
You could hear his voice starting
Kristen
to shake.
Wiig! I love that.
Yeah, well, that's 20 years and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
That's his voice, bro. I don't think he'd change
it. And now, from Studio A.H.
It did get a little palsy at the end. I remember. It did get a little extra shake.
You know, it started sounding like Harry Carey.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin!
Dude, have you seen the Will Ferrell audition tape?
Yes.
For SNL.
He's a cat.
The cat?
Where he does the Harry Carey and then he does the cat.
The Harry Carey, man.
The cat is fucking
stupid. Yeah, that's
Harry Carey
so
is so fucking funny. And, like, yeah. his Harry Carey is more iconic than Harry Carey himself. And, like,
I don't know how people know who he is and have no idea who the fuck Harry Carey is.
You're right. If you're out of the greater Chicago Midland area,
yeah.
like,
I grew up in Wisconsin. I knew who Harry Carey is.
Yeah. But.
That made me go back and find who he was.
Cats don't listen like dogs, dude. Cats are like, I'll fucking get to it when I get to it.
They're sweet, sweet demons.
It's on the agenda, okay? I'm gonna go take a nap.
No, mostly I think it's just fuck you.
Keeps you saying like I'm kind of like a cat last night.
Yeah. How's it going, man?
Hey,
nice. You know the boys?
Yo.
Saturday, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Zach, nice Tommy, you know this clown.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
What's
going on, man? How y'all been?
Fucking awesome.
Fucking great. You're about to hit the road.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a good time. That's we got all this cornbread, but we ran out of butter for some reason.
Hey, man, Jackie already
Have a seat. Eric, butter is so good. I got a new stick for Tommy.
Is it melting yet?
Get away. He's like, I don't like it soft.
I don't like it soft.
Oh, yeah, y'all partying nice. This is a beautiful morning.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good day so far.
I see, man.
This is the day Bill Withers wrote about.
Oh, hell yeah.
Do you want a cup of coffee, sweetie?
Thank you. I love this.
We listen to that. Man, weird. That guy holds that fucking note for like 37
he
bars.
Sure
like,
the fuck does.
It's ridiculous. His fucking lung capacity.
But you know, I remember being at work, and we would occasionally have a customer go, like, I think your CD skipping.
No.
At work, I go, no, it's digital, man. There's no CD to skip. That's a goddamn song.
That's Bill Withers' incredible lung capacity.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Dude, he is so underrated. I don't care how much credit he gets, it's not enough.
He damn sure is.
I've been listening to all kinds of old funk shit lately, man. I've been on a Sly and the Family Stone kick.
Oh, man.
I can't help it, man.
One
there's some great shit.
Grows up to be
Sly and the Family Stone's a shit.
Somebody just loved Lyle.
What's
can
the
you
one?
Take me higher?
Yeah. What's the one talking about? If you want me to stay, I'll be around to wait.
That's the one
for you
too.
To see.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
But I've got
if
to
you
go.
Ever look up, look this up. There's a thing where I don't know what show they were on, but it was Muhammad Ali sitting next to Sly Stone.
Jesus.
Whatever the host, or whatever the host of the show was, right? And
probably
they got into
live.
And it was a very. It was very subtle, but it was definitely an undertone. And Sly wouldn't bow to Muhammad Ali. He's like, listen, watch your fucking mouth.
Tell him that to Muhammad Ali.
Hey, and he was sitting there, buck 35. I was like, and you know, Muhammad took the older.
Shit.
That's scrappy as
well, you know,
hey, it was real though.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
But when Muhammad got at him, he really did. Even he heard Muhammad undertone. He was like, listen, I'm going to fuck you. Basically, I'm going to fuck you, the champion of the world.
Yeah.
Watch your shit talking to me. Like, and Muhammad, it blew my mind away. Because you would think, especially back in the 60s, 70s, and all they going through that. But
you're so safer
still,
saying that to him than like Mike Tyson.
He still was not great. Oh, yeah, well, you know.
Mike Tyson, that motherfucker probably hit you.
Mike Tyson, not a thinker.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, not a thinker.
That's the understanding.
You see, hey, it's just that. It's just.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, not a thinker.
And even when he does think, it's his inside voice runs him, not his.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
There's no feeling.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mike, like, you know, that's enough of the words. What?
Mike Tyson,
all of a
like,
sudden, you sleep the fuck.
I tried the words, they didn't work. I'm just
Mike Tyson's like,
but Muhammad knew
like
he was wrong, though. There's a point where Muhammad kind of recognized I did take a jab at him.
Wow.
Let me take this other route with the conversation. I see Mike Tyson. So it ended up being cool, but it was still like, wow.
Yeah, I was
hey. And it made my respect for Sly just as a man, fuck the musician. I was like, that was hard.
Yeah, right.
As a person, I appreciate that. Yeah.
It was dope. He was like, I listen, brother, I admire you, all this, all that. Watch your fucking tone.
Yeah.
And then one of the exact words he used, but I just remember watching that shit and I kind of watched it over. I said,
that's the vibe you got from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that was kind of interesting, and it was cool.
Not
like
quite
Muhammad had to
Mike
be
Myers.
A peacemaker. Muhammad was like, you know what? Pipe down, bro. I'm sorry about all that chandler.
Well, you knew he fucking
champ.
Muhammad Ali was a fucking huge wrestling fan. Like that's where he got all of his shit talk from. So he probably recognized, like,
Muhammad
I need to
ain't no bullshit.
No,
man.
Think
what
about,
was the
like,
fight? Did you see the fight with him and Foreman? When Muhammad Ali is just a little older.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tires
that's the end where he tired him. He talked enough shit to him. He was talking to him the whole fight, letting him beat on him, waiting until he couldn't breathe no more, and he whoop his ass.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, he did.
He will whoop his
motherfucking
ass.
Man, boxing is
ass.
Not the same anymore.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why Mike Tyson when people, because Muhammad Ali on my Arsenio Hall show said the greatest boxer of all time is Mike Tyson. He said,
man,
literally, he said, listen, as a 20-year-old, I don't want nothing to do with Mike Tyson. Because you got to understand, Mike Tyson would have been a champion at 19. They wouldn't fight him.
Yeah.
He was that dominant as a man-child at 15, 16, that 4 years, once he got to 19, you're talking about 25-year-olds, 28-year-olds. They didn't want shit to do.
They're like, I saw what he
with
did.
With this.
They're like, I saw what he did with
so once motherfuckers couldn't run from him no more, he became an undisputed heavyweight champion at 20 years old in 2 months. Hold on. This motherfucker, that's like going to the NFL at 17 and being all pro. When you step into a ring with that level of professionalism as a fighter and you knock an ass out in 40 seconds, 30 seconds, and you don't just have one belt. He unified the belts at 20 years old in 2 months.
So good.
So Muhammad looking at that like, oh yeah, that's some different shit.
Yeah,
I didn't do that.
That's some different
shit. But he paid away for that though.
That's some different. Yeah, he definitely paid away. But let me tell you this. Muhammad Ali on the Arsenio Hall show in his later years, it's easier in your later years to admit like your real honesty, like, I'm not competing no more. I don't want shit to do with him if both of us are 20 years old.
Yeah.
I don't want shit to do with it.
Yeah. Same age
and
all that.
They didn't ask Mike, and this is when I first realized Mike could be articulate and was smart. Boxing wise, he was a student. He didn't have an education. His education was boxing.
Yeah.
He knows everything about boxing. I'm talking about the everything. Way.
Yeah.
1700 boxing, he knows. So that motherfucker looked at Arsenio and he chuckled. He said, that's just Muhammad still competing and getting me in the mindset of thinking I can beat him so he can whoop my motherfucking ass. He said, what he's doing is setting me up and taking me to the deepest part of the water to where I can't swim no more. He said, it's just step one of him still competing right now.
Yeah.
He said, Mike Tyson looked at Arsenio and said, I'm sitting next to the greatest boxer of all time. That was a great compliment, whatever, whatnot. But that's still him on his bullshit.
Yeah,
he said that.
That's awesome.
He straight up looked at him and said, mentally, he's trying to get me in a nice position. Yeah, he said.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, it was game recognizing game. I was like, oh, that's hard right there.
And think about where we're at in boxing now. Like, fucking Logan Paul is the biggest boxing name.
Oh,
I don't even
want to
think about it.
No,
I don't even want to think about it. I think, you know, once we got, you know, I respect Mayweather, but I can't stand that little motherfucker.
No.
I cannot stand
that. Honestly,
you know,
his style. This is when they stand toe-to-toe and just fucking brawl, dude. That was
some fun.
Yeah, but
I'm talking like Hagler and fucking...
That was the 80s was the epitome.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
When you had Hagler, Hearns, and Sugar Ray in the same shit for that 8 years, and then you threw in, what was the Mexican with the hands is... Durant.
Yeah.
Them motherfuckers was chumming.
They were brawlers, dude. Like, and I miss
they
that.
They were
brawlers. Like,
but there still was some science behind it. Durant was the one that didn't have anything else, but when I touch you, you going to sleep. Frazier, Joe Frazier. Frazier touch you with that left, it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He may not do any of this jab shit, but he would do that hurt. But when he touch you with his left hook,
That was Tyson. Look,
think but Tyson was two-handed, though.
Well, that was
Tyson came from all like.
But that's
I mean,
how he got beat. It's like you can't let him hit you full force. If he's thrown out, you're down. It's a problem. Yeah, like the only way to do it is not get hit, and that's when boxing started to change. Don't get fucking hit, dude.
Hey, but that is boxing, though.
Yeah, now
that
it's super biased,
very technical. You know, but.
That's how you beat Tyson. Just don't let him hit you with that right cross, man, because that would
be... But that's easier said than done.
I know.
That motherfucker, people don't understand that. Yeah, that's what Mike says. There's a documentary where Mike said, everybody thinks the power, it's not the power. He said it's the accuracy and throwing hands with the speed of a devil. He said it's the speed and the accuracy that is like 2 + 2 = 4. Once that combination that God gave me hits you, it's a problem for you.
But it wasn't just the hands.
His body movement and him being as low to the ground as he was and as stout, he was taking motherfuckers off their whole feet.
Yeah. Low center of gravity, fucking
off the. And the thing is, too, he had a chin and a head of fucking steel. So when you did hit him and it didn't affect him, that also fucked your psyche up. You hit him as hard as nothing happened, and he just hit you three times right back, just as hard, if not harder. And he's like, oh, and he's faster than me. This, where are my answers? What do I do? Your brain is thick. What the fuck? This motherfucker is faster than me, hitting harder than me.
I think I am.
He's looking at me in my eyes and not breaking every time. There's no emotion in this thing.
Those fights are great to watch.
Motherfucker, you ever see Mike wear no rope to no ring? Fuck no.
Fuck no, he's ready to go.
He had a towel with a hole in it.
He's ready to go.
Like a poncho. Bruh, and that shit where he come to the ring and literally just stare at your face and not break. And he said, once you look down, he said, I knew that was your ass. So how you like, hey. Nice. Literally, Mike said that was his art of war.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't want all that dance and all that skipping. He said, I just rock back and forth staring at you.
My local moco roots.
Oh, good shit, man. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yeah,
for food?
The worst thing about Tyson fights is they're too
bad. I figured you'd tell me.
I will.
That was the only problem.
I appreciate it.
See, I didn't give a fuck. I was a child, so I didn't have no stream of pay.
Yes,
I like the shit.
In the fridge. Cups.
Beat his ass, man.
I remember paying like $50 for pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was too young to pay.
90 seconds, you're like, God damn it, dude.
That's what I hate about UFC.
Yeah.
Well, see, not all UFC is like that, though. Some UFC go to fucking distance. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You got to pick and choose. You can't be buying.
I got your Gary Payton and ice cream paint job.
Got
I owe you five.
Fuck yeah.
I think you're good for it.
Okay. I got you.
I ran into him at 80
I'll put that
time.
In a wrap.
Please do. Yeah, because I'll walk out ignorant just like this. Oh, you're talking about the food.
Food.
Oh, okay.
I got that too.
Yeah, I was leaving AE Lounge in Oakland one time when Gary Payton and his boys walked in.
Oh, gee, hey, he a good dude.
He was awesome. Yeah.
He's still a nigga. He's a nigga. You know what I'm saying? When I say that,
he was real cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not all uppity and all suit and tie and shit.
It was cool to watch him make it on that top 75, man.
Yeah, he deserved it.
Yeah, he did.
He kind of deserved it.
Nobody had
there a question. There was a few of them I didn't feel like deserved.
Right, Anthony Davis? What the fuck? He ain't done enough.
Dame Lillard? Like, I love Dame Lillard. Don't get me wrong. And he's from Oakland, but he ain't done enough to be no top.
Jokic is an MVP. Huh? He didn't make it.
Hey, Dame, and they didn't have a.
This is Chris Durant. You're listening to Coffee with the Roach, the third night on the tour, and we are here at the Savage Henry Comedy Club in downtown Eureka, California.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, guys. Thanks
Savage
a lot.
Henry for fucking ever. It's like Wu-Tang for the children.
That's what you're going to say next time on Price is Right?
Savage Henry forever.
What is up, podcast world? Here at the Sacramento Airport. Very last day, it is over. The tour has ended. I'm exhausted. here with Zach.
Yes.
Zach Zimmerman, how you feeling, buddy?
Oh man, I am tired, but what a rush. What an awesome couple of days.
It's a great run, met a lot of cool people, got to do a lot of fun shows. Never been to a lot of these places before, and it was just a great experience all the way around. I can't say enough nice things about the venues we went to.
Oh man.
Sally Tomatoes, Rohnert Park.
Sally Tomatoes was awesome. I've always wanted to play there, and I never got to when I lived in the Bay, so I'm really glad I got to come back.
Yeah, dude, like, definitely. The crowd there, I wasn't expecting anything huge, but it wound up being something big.
They showed up. That was great.
Yeah, and they were willing to play along. I was talking to the audience from stage.
They were nice with the tip jar.
Yeah, that was especially appreciated.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, my God. The whole time on stage, just, it was fantastic. We got that on tape.
Yeah, that one.
That'll be fun to look at later on.
Yeah, some of them are a little more controlled than others, and that was nice there.
Yeah. The next night after that was Wind River Casino.
Yes.
And that was another one.
Yeah, that was crazy. They were bringing chairs in just by the boatload, pretty much.
Like, yeah.
Three separate times they brought in chairs to fit people because people just kept coming in.
Packed that room out. We were told they'd never filled the room up before the show even starts. So hearing that, and then plus we were handing out a bunch of merch to the casino in general before the show even started.
Yeah.
And they were telling us, I could hear them all saying, like, that's how you do it, man. Just get them in there with that merch. Get them start barking before the show. And it really paid off.
It worked.
It paid off in spades. It was amazing to see. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
Buddy Joel that owns the, I believe it was the Overtime.
Yes.
Yeah. Overtime Bar inside of Wind River Casino. Whenever you are in Redding, California, make sure to visit Wind River Casino. And your chance to win, probably a Charger. They're always giving away a Charger.
A San Diego Charger.
Yeah, yeah, because they will go anywhere.
Right.
Given enough money.
Right.
But damn, it's a beautiful rooms.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was so great. And then the following night. Following night was what?
From Redding out to Eureka, hit up Savage Henry.
That's right, Savage Henry. It all fucking, right at this moment, it's like such a blur. It all just fucking melds together.
Yeah.
Everything is just nothing but positive. Yeah. Nothing but good outcomes for these shows. I like to think that the past ones have taught me what not to do. And this is probably like one of the culminations of really like putting my mind to it and having the right people to come with me.
Yeah.
And making it such a good experience.
Yeah, it was a good mesh of people. We all got along really well.
Yeah.
We traveled well together.
We were doing song numbers in the car.
Yeah, quite a bit of that. That's why my voice is thrashed.
Jake and Zach, you guys harmonized beautifully. That was even more apparent when we went to go do karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke was super fun. Oh yeah, in Redding, yeah.
Yeah, after the Wind River show.
Right.
We went to a place called Monroe's whenever in Redding. Check out Monroe's for the awesome karaoke. And just as proof, we are doing this show outside.
That is a
plane. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. We went to Monroe's. I did Come and Get Your Love.
That's a good choice.
Trying to hold on to my title as the guardian of the karaoke galaxy. And doing that number there. What song did you do, Zach?
I did Cult of Personality.
And did it perfectly.
And then Jacob rocked that Drops of Jupiter. I didn't expect that. I thought he was kidding when he said he was picking that song, and he fucking rocked it.
Yeah. Yeah, we put on a show
after the
all
show.
Over Redding.
Yeah.
It was amazing. If you weren't there, I'm sure you can hear legend of it. they'll be writing songs about it soon. It'll be able to be heard of in the next mixtape dropped by the rapper that lives in the closest subdivision to wherever. Right.
Next 8 Mile.
Yeah, and I even talked about shit like when I lived there. I talked about the experience of living there, and that was just shit that I talked about with you guys. And doing that on stage was very gratifying to know
that
me just fucking getting my thoughts out in that way, it was still funny, and it still worked.
Savage Henry was fun. That night we were in Eureka. That was a good time. But then going up to Enateca all the way up to Crescent City, that drive is just gorgeous, seeing all those amazing trees and everything just popping up out of nowhere. And then making it to Crescent City, and that's a town that really, like, they're hungry for having live entertainment.
Yeah, they are.
And they showed up. It was a bar show, but that was completely packed out. That was awesome.
Crescent City, California, Enateca is the name of the venue. They put on music shows. They have delicious food.
They're all pirate-themed and super cool.
Yeah, so fucking awesome. The owner, Daryl, is nothing but fucking nice and pleasure to talk to and do business with.
Yes.
Whenever you're up there, visit them. And whenever we come back, make sure to come through because we put on a fucking great show.
Yeah. So driving through back from Crescent City, we hit up that diner.
Which one?
Tony's 24-hour.
I'm still burping chocolate shake.
That place was amazing.
Oh, man. German chocolate shake with hot fudge and whipped cream on top.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was upset.
Yeah.
That was
they
very
should come
much.
With a shot of insulin. That stuff is potent.
Should come with a bucket so your foot could just fall off into it.
Oh, it was so good.
Because it's all diabetes. All
so
the time.
Good though. And then the next day, the last day of the tour yesterday, having to do the VFW show. We weren't sure how that was going to be. Kind of a small, intimate setting. Not a very big crowd, but they were there to laugh. Like, mm-hmm. That was fun. I'd take 10 people paying attention over 50 who aren't any day. That was awesome.
Now, everybody had a good set there, and as a testament to how we eat when we go out on tour, I had to cut my set short because I felt like I was about to become a Roman candle of my own insides. We only eat nothing but the fucking worst. But this is like our cheat week as opposed to cheat day. I've eaten so much food, it feels like my eyes are closing from the new fat in my cheeks.
Yeah, I don't need to eat for the rest of the month of March.
Oh,
we're
my
not even
God.
In March yet. I'm like, I'm good.
I'm jealous of bears that get to go and hibernate after they eat this amount of food. That's another thing. We never saw one bear.
No, never saw one Sasquatch either. That kind of pissed me off.
We saw them in wood-carved form.
Plenty of wood-carved Sasquatch. No
All
actual.
The wood-carved Sasquatch.
We did the walk, the Redwood walk.
Yeah, the Skywalk.
The Skywalk, that's what it was called, yeah.
Fulfilled my destiny of being a Skywalker.
Yes, we heard a donkey scream, but we thought it was a Sasquatch, but it was just a donkey.
I contend that it was a Sasquatch call.
I mean, there's no proof that it wasn't, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't see him, but, I mean, yeah. You didn't see the jackass do the sound either.
Yeah, just clearly, just you could tell just how thick those woods are up there. It's undeniable proof Sasquatch is out there somewhere. We got a Sasquatch map. I'm going to come back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to get this little Sasquatch that I got doing a yoga pose into turn it into a necklace.
Yes.
Turn it into a piece.
Exactly.
The morning of this morning, on our way out, we hit up Samoa Cookhouse.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And today was French Toast Day, as I'm told, is one of the favorites in Samoa.
Yeah, that's a cool place because, like, they serve it family style. So, like, whatever you get, it just says the breakfast is this much, the dinner is this much. Like, they're just like, you're get what you were fucking serving, and that's it. We're not making special orders. We're not making special requests. You get what we make.
I was slightly bummed out when I saw the plates of biscuits and gravy that I didn't order it, but I'm also happy because I want to live to see tomorrow.
Yes.
Because the food is huge. Those biscuits were the size of softballs. That gravy was thick. Thick.
Yes.
Like my childhood trauma. Just thick.
Just thick.
And it was so good. All that food. Check out Samoa Cookhouse.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
So fucking delicious. Eureka, you did nothing but treat us good. And can't be more than grateful. So much awesome. I mean, shit. Chris from Savage Henry did an intro to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing but good people. Nothing but awesome people. Josh Barnes, who popped us on his show to let us be there for part of the tour. Can't be happier than how gracious they all are, how nice all these people are in the North.
They treated us awesome. That was great. And then to close it off at Siren Song, like, last time we went there, it wasn't that great of a turnout. But this time, again, people just showed up. Like, we had just, like, 5 days of awesome shows in a row. And that's so rare. I figured at least one or two of them were going to be kind of, you know, not as – like, after the first two nights, there's, like, no way we can keep up with that trend. But it happened 5 nights in a row, and now I'm exhausted.
THC Comedy, top half of California, 40 ounce to funny. I am Tommy Lucero. This has been the recap. We are both dead on our fucking feet. I am going to go on a plane right now and really agitate whoever sits next to me because it's going to sound like a bear battling a fucking Viking onslaught with a chainsaw.
That's pretty much what it sounds like. Yeah.
That's what I heard. You recorded it.
Yeah, I did. I recorded it. We'll have bonus footage for this episode of Tommy Snoring.
Yeah, send me that audio and I'll put it on the end here so you can lull you to sleep.
Good Lord. I mean, that could have been Sasquatch too. I don't know.
I have breaking news, Zach.
You're part Squatch.
I am Sasquatch.
I fucking knew it, dude.
As sure as Tony
Sasquatch
Stark
was with us the whole time.
As sure as Tony Stark is Iron Man, I am Sasquatch. It's a very Shyamalan twist to the end of the tour here. It's like finding out Bruce Willis was trying to act the whole time.
Yes.
I was actually Sasquatch. Thank you for tuning in. Good night. God bless. Peace, love, and soul.
And now we're back in beautiful sunny San Diego, California. I am Tommy the Roach Lucero. Can't be happier with the outcome of the entire top half of California tour with my friend Zach Zimmerman. Check him out on the internet, the social medias. He's making a move right now, but he will let you know where he'll be performing next. I'm sure you will be more than pleased when you see that boy on stage. He's amazing when he hits the mic. He is a freaking powerhouse of energy on the stage. Check him out. Zach Zimmerman. Of course, Jackie Pearl, the star of Sacramento. She is also a force to be reckoned with on the microphone. She's been putting in the time. You can tell when she hits the stage, it's nothing but fire, my friends. Pure fucking fire. Flame. Check her out. She's a great person. Talk to her after the show. She's real sociable. Buy her a drink. Buy her five. It's part of her set. Do it. Also, Jacob Blazer. He's amazing. I can't say enough nice things about Jacob. He's always putting in the time. You can always see improvement every time he hits the stage. Can almost always as well see new tags that he's come up with, see new jokes. Just like if you see him one day and see him the following day, he's probably got a slightly different set. He puts in a lot of time. He gets all over San Francisco, Northern California proper. He is out there putting in the work. He's part of the scene. He is the scene. He's the community. He's the streets. The streets, they are talking, and they are Jacob Blazer. He is a trailblazer in the world of comedy. You need to check out his stuff. He's amazing. He puts it all over. Work in every part of Northern California, mostly because he has a valid driver's license and the state of California allows him to drive still. I don't have that. I don't have that at all. And I'm not mad. I'm not mad. He's doing better than me with that, in that aspect. And can't be happier for him. I'm fortunate to have had all these people come out on the road with me. I'm very grateful right now. Very pleased with the outcome of all the shows. We started at Rohnert Park, Sally Tomatoes Comedy Club. Sally Tomatoes Rohnert Park, we started at doing a show there. I'd never been there. I didn't know what to expect, but it went off without a hitch, my friends. It was so fun to be able to be in that club. I'd never been in there before. And the following weekend is Doug Stanhope, so I felt even more privileged to be on a stage that one of my comedic heroes would be gracing soon. I feel very grateful for all that. It's so fucking awesome, man. And I was wearing a robe. It was amazing. Pictures are on the internet. Check out the Instagram, Tommy the Roach, all one word. Check it out. Well worth it. All the pictures from the tour and the experiences we had of mine are on there. And you can check out everybody else's Instagram. They also have a wide variety of stuff going on there. It's well worth it. The next day was Wind River Casino in Redding, California, my former stomping grounds, as it were. I lived there for a little bit. Told the people about it. They enjoyed it. They didn't say nothing too personal, but just kind of recounted my experiences interacting with, we'll say, the wildlife of Redding, California. And by that, I mean, these motherfuckers was wild, yo. But if you were in the crowd, you heard me talk about it. Y'all laughed at it. We had a good time. It was fun. Check out the Overtime Bar, Wind River Casino. Check out Wind River Casino in general. It's a beautiful, beautiful casino. Awesome venue. Everybody, the staff is all so nice and so just sweet. It's mind-blowing, really. I guess that just means I'm not used to people being nice to me. But whatever. You know, we'll get past it. We'll move forward. Because the next show after that day was Savage Henry Comedy Club. And we hit it. It was great. I saw all my good friends at Savage Henry. Chris, thanks so much. The club looks beautiful. The magazines are beautifully displayed, along with all the artwork. You can still see some of my old contributions to the magazine, the articles. Very eclectic subject matter. So it's something for everybody. I always referred to it as the modern day National Lampoon because it was just for everyone. But it would also touch on so many different subjects because they had such a vast writer's pool that they would pull from. And all the magazine would always be so amazing. Check out Savage Henry on the internet. Check out the Savage Henry Comedy Club in Eureka, California. It's a beautiful place, beautiful club. It's very much a comics comedy club. Thank you very much, Savage Henry. And then from there, we went on to Inateca in Crescent City, which I've been wanting to go back there forever. I have a bit of a relationship with the owners, and they're always so sweet and so nice. We've been trying to put on another show there, but this whole pandemic kind of put a kibosh on that, so we had to wait it out. I got to go back, and I got to drop a beautiful headline set. I was so happy with the outcome of that, too. Got to talk to the crowd. They played along. I got to drop some new material there. It was great. Can't say enough nice things. Crescent City is a lovely spot in the world. And if I had the chance, if I could, I would live there. And we're just throwing that out there. If anybody has, you know, a house they're just, you know, just want to get rid of, just send me the key. I can be up there within a day or two. Me and all my various shit. All the pops need to go to Crescent City with me and let me know, anyone up there, if you have a room or house you just want to give me. That's all I'm looking for. Just looking for you to give me a home. A forever home without anybody else there but me. And maybe Zach, Jackie, and Jacob. But other than that, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful show. I had a great time. Thank you so much, Inateca. I can't say enough nice things. Delicious food, great staff, beautiful staff, I might add. Take that as you will. But it was a great, great, great time. Thanks so much, Inateca. And the following day, the last day of the shows, was the VFW Hall, followed by Siren Song in Eureka, California. It was a doubleheader, VFW show. I had a great reaction. I couldn't do much time because on the last day of the tour, my body started to, not agree so much with how I had been treating it food-wise. Apparently, your insides age too. So I'm going to have to rethink all that next time we're out because unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know, my body cannot survive on fast food alone anymore. So going to have to figure that out. But other than that, the VFW and Eureka, they fucking loved us. They absolutely loved us. I have never, well, I can't say never. I have gotten a round of applause for it, but not the extended applause break that I got for my bit about eating ass. I mean, I know everybody does it. It's a big thing now. It's a whole subreddit at this point. It's a whole Reddit. Not even a sub, but it is a Reddit. It is a Dom Reddit, not a sub. It's the Dom on the Reddit of eating ass. People were smacking onto the bar. They loved it. It was great. It was a great, great response. And I don't know what I was expecting doing a VFW show because I hadn't done one in a while, but the people at this VFW in Eureka, beautiful people. I love you so much. Thank you for the accolades, the rounds of applause. I would love to come back there again. Stephanie Knowles, thank you for hooking it up and putting that show together. Make sure and check her out up in the Eureka area. She is another very talented comic. works with Savage Henry. I got to work with her on the Zoom stuff during the shutdown while the Black Plague was upon us in its death grip, if you will. But great shows in Eureka. And then we hit Siren Song with good old Pete. Pete hooked it up with a Siren Song. Humboldt Comedy is where you can find out more about all his works he's doing up in that area. Should be a good time. He always puts on a good show, and he's always very welcoming. I've never personally had any kind of problems with the young man, so it's always fun to work up there in Eureka with the comedy community up there. They're all very sweet, all very nice, all super talented, like almost too talented, like scary talented, and also humble at the same time. They're just so creative, so prolific in their performances. Everybody that works up in the Humboldt area in the comedy world there, hats off to you. You guys are all very talented, making great moves and such strides in your performances. Much respect to the Humboldt comedy community. Seriously, I love you guys so much. And I love the comics I went on tour with, Jacob, Jackie, Zach. I'd do anything for you guys. Well, almost anything. I don't have a great credit score, so I can only do but so much. And I appreciate all you did for me. I appreciate you putting up with my snoring, because as I'm told, it sounds like a grizzly bear battling a chainsaw in a goddamn hailstorm while a locomotive crashes into a giant brick wall. It's something, I'm told. Zach has a recording of it. I don't ever want to hear it again. And I'm sorry to the people that ever have to hear it. But other than that, it was all a great experience. I love all you guys so much. I'm very happy, very grateful. Everybody, check out my friends, Zach Zimmerman, Jackie Pearl, Jacob Blazer. Great comics. Amazing people. And I'll see you back on the road. Next shows coming up are Witch's Brew in Los Angeles with Dive Bar Comedy. There's some tickets online for that, so you can pick up some of those and come out to the show. Following day, Arizona, Whiskey Barrel, Yuma. We're doing it. Me and young Corey Riojas will be on that lineup. And the day before, Frankie Gonzalez and I will be on that Witch's Brew show. Also got some 40 Ounce to Funny shows coming up, confirming those dates still. So I will post it online. Until then, be good to each other. Be good to yourself. Most of all, don't be a fucking dick.